Welcome back to the Off Speed Podcast. My name is Grace. I am your host of the Off Speed Podcast, a show where we slow down, we look at different sports around the world and other sports stories. This week, I'm very excited. We're chatting with my friend Melissa Woodward, and we're going to chat about the sport of ultimate. We'll get into that in a bit. A big sports week. We have the NHL draft happened earlier this week, and we are in the last about to head into the weekend before the All-Star break in the MLB. So the All-Star teams were announced. Boy, it seems like there's like a lot of players that got snubbed in a sense, and perhaps it's just because there's a lot of good players at the moment. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of players who maybe should have made it and still probably will make it due to injuries and things like that. And, you know, manager submissions and the such. Interesting thing that they did this year where each league got sort of like a legacy player. In the NL, Albert Pujols gets named to the All-Star game. It should be kind of fun. In the AL, Miguel Cabrera gets named. Pujols also going to play in the Home Run Derby, which I think is kind of fun. I feel like sports should do a little bit more than this. Pujols a little bit, not even a little bit, pretty past his prime, having sort of a fun run at the end of his career with Mike Bloom's St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm sort of delighted to see Pujols playing the Home Run Derby, Pujols and Cabrera to get a spot in the All-Star game, kind of recognize them in probably both of their last years in the major league. So I don't know. I think it's fun. We'll see. Let's jump into the interview with Melissa on the other side of things. We can chat a little bit more about the week of sports. But for now, let's jump into let's get to know the world of ultimate. And we're back. I'm very excited to be joined by a friend of mine, host of YA, a post-show recaps patron podcast, talking about YA content, and the host of the Severance podcast with Joshua Garn, Dr. Mena. It's Dr. Melissa. Melissa, how you doing?
Good, Grace. How are you doing?
I'm great. We're going to talk about sports.
We're going to talk about sports. I know. Yeah. Who would have thunk? It still feels a bit imposter of me to be the one on here, but I do know a lot about like one particular sport.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I know one of the things we bonded over actually was watching curling with people in the Post Show Recap patron Discord and watching it, and people be like, "What is that?" And the two of us being like, "That's a thing. That's called the button," you know. So actually, we have like a lot of sports connective tissue. But you're here to talk about ultimate. Is it a faux pas to call it ultimate frisbee? Because that's how people. Is it just that frisbee was copyrighted and they're not allowed to call it ultimate frisbee? Is that where we should start?
Yeah, so frisbee is a branded term. It all started with people throwing pie dishes at each other, but you know, somebody branded the word frisbee, so we call it a disc. Is kind of the facial tissue version of to Kleenex, right? So
yes,
but I personally call it frisbee all the time because that's a word that people know. If you say things like ultimate, people start thinking about like ultimate fighting.
Right.
And that is not a thing that I participate in on a regular basis.
Oh no, I've actually booked the wrong guests. We're here talking about ultimate fighting championship, Melissa. Uh-oh.
Shoot. Yeah. I know nothing about that. But yeah, so I call it ultimate frisbee, disc sports, it all works.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about ultimate. Previously, I think like a colloquial ultimate frisbee, but actually, I didn't do the thing that I normally do, which is I like to get to know the guests, or I like to let the audience. I know you, but I like to let the audience know about the guest. And typically, I like to do that by like, what's your sports background? You obviously play ultimate. That's why you're here. You're gonna enlighten us about ultimate. But like, as a kid, did you play anything else? Are you a watcher of sports, or is it like you just do it because you want to do it recreationally? What's your sports history? Basically, is the question.
Yeah, I have a really like weird history with sports. So I did soccer for 1 year and was really bad. But I grew up in like a soccer family. My dad
was a soccer brother. Ball. My mom was a soccer ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, like I'm Canadian like you are, so hockey was everywhere. And, watched it all the time growing up as And, but I wasn't like, I was a dancer growing up. That was my like, kind of athletic pursuit that I was really into. And I always enjoyed gym. And the, I had a lot of, because I was in French immersion in school, our gym was, mixed gender versus, for some reason, the English track had like single gender gym class. And so it meant that I like actually got to play sports with the boys who wanted to play rather than like, I would watch the, I don't know, like girls in high school sometimes are just a lot. And so it was fun to be like, oh, I'm actually going to go like play, floor hockey or, you know, whatever we were doing at the time. Yeah. But, and so I always like enjoyed it. I just never felt like I was particularly good at it. And then I started playing Ultimate the summer after I graduated high school and have basically never stopped. And it's become my life obsession.
Yes, which is great. Everyone should have a life. I mean, I think you have many life obsessions, but as we all, we are all our nuanced individuals. But yeah, Ultimate. So my experience with Ultimate is very like sporadic. I think we probably played a bunch, like in school, elementary school and high school, and then probably a lot at camp as well. But you're like in like actual competitive Ultimate. Obviously, you know, this conversation will be a little bit like centered on like you and your experience with Ultimate. We'll like, you know, talk about world championships and things like that. But what's like sort of like the, how did, when you got into it, what does that mean getting into it when you started to play?
Yeah. So my hometown had a rec league. And so basically once a week, people would meet up and play. And this is kind of the great thing about Ultimate is you really just need a grassy area and a frisbee. It's very low barrier to entry kind of sport. There's not a lot of equipment that you need. It's not expensive. It's super easy. And so people would just get together. And if we could get however many people we got, we kind of divided into two teams and we just played every Sunday through the summer. And that's like most of the world plays rec frisbee, right? Like it's, you sign up for a league, you know, the Vancouver Ultimate League, which is where I'm from, is the largest league in North America, west of Ontario. And so like, it's,
wow, you had me at the first time. I was like, the largest league west of Ontario is like, yeah, well, Saskatchewan. I guess
there's a whole state below us, right? I'm talking North America? Of North America.
Wow. Yeah. You got California beat. Yeah, that is actually
still
very
pretty good. We beat Seattle. Seattle's a big Ultimate city.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like it's, but there are these really massive rec leagues in most major cities. And then a lot of smaller cities have their own leagues as well. And people get together once a week and play a couple games and it's very chill. And then there's, you know, those of us that take things too far and get too far into it.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like most of my hobbies, I end up like, I'm like, I like to do this for fun. And then it's like me competing against somebody and something. So that's very relatable. I mean, I guess the other thing we should do is very quickly, I came in with the assumption that like, I think most people know what Ultimate is, but maybe they don't. And I don't want to like exclude those people from this conversation. There's lots of, like, I like to do when I have a new sport that I'm like chatting about on this thing. So like we did hurling a few weeks ago. There's lots of great like rules of hurling videos you could go watch. I'm sure the same is true for Ultimate, but can you give this just like the general breakdown? I remember what I remember from school. Totally possible we were playing incorrectly. And you know, as is the case, would be like, no, that's how you play in Ontario. It's not how you play, how you play in BC, you know? But like, yeah, just generally the rules of Ultimate.
Sure. So the rules are actually pretty well universal. Like I've gone to tournaments I went to a tournament in Italy and I picked up on a pickup team. So it was just random players. So we played, we had a team of people from Germany and Bahrain and like literally all over the world. And we all were playing the same sport. So it doesn't actually differ. There's definitely regional differences in terms of style in lots of different ways. But it is, I will say the one big exception is gym classes around the world, because they play this like weird three step rule, where you get to hold on to the frisbee and then like take three steps.
Oh, there's not a three step rule.
There's no three step rule in frisbee. It's a weird, I don't know why gym classes do this.
That makes more sense that you can't move, but, maybe if like you're bad, at least you get to run with it for a minute.
Yeah. I don't know. So frisbee is sort of this like funky, amalgamation of a lot of other sports. And so each team generally in standard Frisbee has seven players on each side, and you've got end zones like football, and you're trying to move the Frisbee from one end to the other and catch it in kind of the end zone on the opposite side of the field. When you catch the Frisbee, you can't move with it. You have to stop kind of as quickly as possible and establish your spot on the field. And then you are playing offense, passing it to each other. And then if a turnover happens, so if a Frisbee is dropped or intercepted or goes out of bounds, then you immediately switch to playing defense. And then the other team is on offense, kind of like soccer in that way, where you kind of quickly go back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of running. It's very lots of like athletic, like jumping in the air and diving catches and like lots of really fun stuff there. It's a very strategic game in a lot of ways. There's lots of different, I actually had a friend compare it to rugby a while ago in terms of kind of all the strategy involved, because you can't, you can't move and you have to pass it to somebody else. It is literally impossible to score a point by yourself. There's no like soccer star who like runs the disc or not the disc, the ball, like all the way down the field. You literally can't do that in Frisbee. Like, you need someone to catch it for you.
That's very interesting. You either need somebody to catch the Frisbee for you, or you need to be very good at throwing it. And that's very interesting.
Like at the end of the day, you cannot both throw it and catch it yourself. So you have to have somebody else involved.
So you need two superstars.
You need two superstars at least.
That's very interesting. Yeah, the three-step rule has blown my mind that is not a real thing. It makes total sense.
This is my big PSA of the podcast is like, it's not a thing.
Teachers,
it's really weird.
If you're listening, you're setting your students up for failure when they want to play professional. I feel like the thing you were saying about how like you just went to a pickup game and then it gradually like, you know, you're looking for competition. I think there's a reason why like soccer/football is like the most popular sport in the world, is that like you just kind of need a ball and that's it. And in the sense, you kind of just need a Frisbee. And that's it. And not that it's taken off in that same way, but I can see how, you just pick up, and obviously like these like rec games are 7-on-7, but if you have four people, you just play 2-on-2, you know, I will say I love baseball. Having a game of rec pickup baseball, very hard. It's very challenging. It's like, do I have 17 friends who can hang out with me? The answer is no. But
or like threes is like a very common, like fun weekend, like 3-on-3. And we do it a lot at like my team practices a lot doing 3-on-3 because it's like a really good way of, you know, you can't hide when there's only three of you on the field at the time. So I would say like any number of people that you've got, you can make Frisbee happen.
Yeah. And you probably live, so, you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably good at the internet. And so looking up to see if there's any like rec local leagues in your area. I'm sure that there probably is, especially at this time of year, maybe a little bit late into the season, but you can see if you could find some games. I'm really interested. I think like what was most is to me, as you said, that there's like these regional differences in the game, which I presume to be like the strategy of the game. Can you like highlight an example of like, you know, your team, what do you think I mean, not to give away to any teams that you'll be playing, but your team, like, what do you think your team is particularly good at? Or is your like, or does that change from game to game? You're like, oh, we can't play this style. We're going to try to play this style. I'm just interested in the like strategy of the game.
For sure. So the strategy of the game is like one of my favorite parts of the whole thing of this is our like this team that we're playing, they've got this strength. So what do we do to try to combat that? And so even something as there's a bit of a West East Coast difference in terms of the offensive strategy that we tend to play. So on the West Coast, it's less windy over here. And so we tend to play what's called a horizontal offense. So the people that are doing a lot of the catching of the Frisbee will line up horizontally across the field, so that basically what they've done is they've given themselves space closer to the person with the Frisbee to run to, or further away. They can go for those really long runs down the field, and they've given themselves both of those options, as opposed to on the East Coast where it's a little bit more windy. They line up vertically, so they run down the middle of the field and they give themselves the left side of the field and the right side of the field to run on. And so it's a little bit you're less reliant on being able to make those really big throws. And you kind of, Ultimate, and I think a lot of sports in general, but I can only speak to Ultimate, is all about giving yourself options and taking away, as defense trying to take away certain options. So you can't take away everything. And so you have to make sure that on offense, you're giving yourself a couple different options and making the defense choose, okay, I'm going to make it really hard for you to throw it nearby, but it's going to be easier for you to throw it far away. But I'm hoping that, like, you know, maybe you don't get that throw. Maybe that throw is a bit harder.
You miss somebody else. One of your defensemen catch it. Yeah, that'll make sense to me. Yeah.
So yeah, there's differences like that. I would say there's also like national differences. So like if you ever get to watch a Japanese team play, they are fast and like very quick throws. They don't go for these kind of big, gigantic throws all the way down the field that a lot of the kind of Canadian and American teams love to do. They will throw it 30 times and it will be like precise and quick the whole way down. And you're like, their opponent is always like kind of caught flat footed trying to keep up with them. It's very fun Frisbee to watch because they are just so good.
That is amazing. There's recently I covered on Poster Recaps, Winning Time, which is based on the 1980s Los Angeles Lakers. And that there's probably major differences. Somebody smarter than me can figure out. But like the idea behind like the Showtime Lakers was just like constantly like moving, being on the go, like constantly, which sounds very similar. If you have like the stamina to do that, that would be like the challenge, right? Of like the stamina to be able to like just keep playing like so fast. That's really cool. I like that. Are there any other like weird, what's like, you know, I want to know like it, oh, those Dutch, they were, are there any other like regional differences?
There certainly are. There's definitely some, like some funky defenses that I think sometimes, you see from some of the European teams. Just a shout out that I love to make, the Colombian women's team is unbelievable. Okay. So they've got there are two sisters, the Cardenas sisters, and they are like big names in women's ultimate because they are just unbelievably good. And they have like them and like their whole team has really built up this like strong reputation. So the team is called Revolution. It's the women's team out of Colombia. Yeah. And so it's not that they necessarily have a different style. It's just that it is like incredibly high quality Frisbee. It is very fun to watch. They are like, kind of league of their, like they're keeping up with the best, the United States is the best in the world at ultimate Frisbee and they are keeping up and challenging those American teams and making it really, really cool to watch.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Is it been pretty like, you know, if we're talking about like the reason, well, the timing of this is that you told me that a little while ago, you're like World Championships coming up at the end of July, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that both men's and women's world, like separate, two separate tournaments that happen at the same time?
So, actually, this is like a great time to talk about mixed Frisbee.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
One of the awesome things about Ultimate is that it happens both mixed and single gender matching. Right. So all three of those are happening July 23rd to 30th in Ohio. So the best teams in the world have qualified for the World Ultimate Championships and are going there. So yeah, Revolution will be there.
Can we back up once? I'll just, when you say that the best teams in the world, how did that Colombian women's team, how do they qualify? Like, what did they win to be considered the best team from Colombia?
Yeah. Or so even one of the best in the world? At their own kind of national competition. Yeah. So, we're sending, I want to say six Canadian teams, and it was the top, six Canadian women's teams. There's kind of teams in each division, and it was, they were the top six at nationals last year. And so there's kind of world's qualifying years in which the different national competitions will determine how many spots that they get and how many teams they get to send to these competitions.
Does Canada say always get six, or is it like there's a level of like Canada is given, you know what I mean? Does Canada always get six? Yeah.
I believe it varies based on other kind of previous years competitions and how well they did. So I think there's some sort of like strength bid allocation, as well as, basically all of the Canadian teams will also play in the US series. So they have competed against those American teams. So I do think that that's also factored in as well.
Okay. So that's how they get to the World Championships, and then it's the World Championships coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. So end of July. And then the cool thing is the following week at the beginning of August is the Junior Ultimate Championship. So this is the best.
Rad.
I believe they're all under 25. Mm-hmm. But it's the best kind of, they might even be under 21. Like they're, and the Junior Ultimate scene is just like blowing up. It's Ultimate is happening more and more in schools. There's kind of competitive teams. Kids join in the summer. And it's also just like some very fun frisbee to watch. They're maybe not always quite as kind of cool headed as the adults are, which it makes for some really amazing, you know, some games because they're very exciting.
Is this in Ohio? It looks like it's maybe in Poland. Is that true? Or is it?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, really worldwide. That's great.
Yeah. The Masters Championships just happened in Limerick, Ireland. So like frisbee's all over the world.
Again, you find frisbee, you play. That makes a ton of sense.
It's very easy.
What's the format of the World Championships? Is it just a straight knockout tournament? Is it a round? What's the format?
Yeah. So they're pool divided. They'll round robin in their pool. And then from there, teams will kind of progress to a big bracket. And it goes. So they'll play, each team will play two to three games a day for a week and kind of progress that way.
You were saying before you're much more well-versed in the women's side. It sounds like Colombia has a chance to win. The United States is a contender to win. Are there any other like contending teams? Does anybody else have a chance? Or is these like the two countries that are going to probably dominate?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that Canada has a chance, but I just don't know that we do this year. So the best team in Canada, arguably this year, is Toronto Sixers. And they are... They'll be there as well as Vancouver Traffic is the Vancouver team. There's some other Canadian teams going. It'll be interesting to see if Colombia can take it. But it'll also be interesting because there are a number of really strong American teams, kind of, you know, Seattle, San Francisco, Boston.
This is an every 4 year event. I believe I'm on the right. Ooh, it looks like the 2018, there was some Winnipeg thing, but are they always had in Cincinnati? Because you said this event is being held in Cincinnati, Ohio.
No, it moves around. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
So it looks like in 2018 it was in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah. There's only so many places that have really big fields, so they tend to go back to the same place. Yeah,
Ohio. I'm going to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like the teams that like swept the gold, SF Revolver, I'm assuming it's San Francisco Revolver, and Seattle Riot, Seattle BFG. That makes a lot of a sense. The Revolution coming in second, perhaps hoping to win this year. That's fun.
Yeah. There's Clapham is a Great Britain men's team. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. You often get some decent strength in mixed teams from smaller countries. The mixed division is really fun because often smaller countries that don't have quite the amount of ultimate scene, they don't have quite as many players of, you know, kind of men matching and women matching players. So then they'll form a mixed team. And so their mixed team is actually their strongest team.
Right.
So that can be really fun to watch too. The mixed division is all a bit more kind of from all over the place, which is cool.
We've chatted on the show with like differences. I'm kind of interested in like the a lot of like, I think our North America, you know, the sports that are really popular are so like institutionalized in a degree of like the athletes are professionals who get paid. A lot of the sports we've been diving into where the athletes are presumably like you have a job and then you come and play ultimate when you know, and you figure out how to fit that into your life. Talking about this Revolution team, it's like really great. What sort of like the, is there like a lifespan of like the success of a team? Is that team like the Revolution? Are they, you know, when these two, like how is this team created? Like, is it somebody who, are these just like people who've come together to like create this team, or somebody like trying to build this team? Do you know what I'm asking? Do you get what I'm asking? Like,
yeah.
The Seattle Riot, like, is that a team that will exist for forever? Or is this just like a team that's been created because people got together and created a team?
Yeah. Frisbee, like I think a lot of sports, lives and dies by the work of unpaid volunteers. And so so I think that it is definitely, you know, each year you sort of, the previous team is like, okay, who's going to step up and run it the next year? And it, you know, requires people to step up. And, you know, as someone who's captained a team before, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these teams have been around for decades, right? Like we've got, I don't know for the American teams and stuff, and they go through changes, right? So, like the Sixers is a fairly kind of within the last 5 or 6 years, but there was a team before whose name I'm totally blanking on that have now like evolved to become the Sixers. So that happens a lot, right? Where a team has kind of existed and then they are like, well, we want to form this like slightly new identity. And so they form a new name and stuff. So there's certainly longevity within these teams. It's just depending on who steps up. I will say there is a whole like professional ultimate side as well that we like haven't touched on. Yeah. So there are three professional leagues currently in North America. I don't believe there's professional ultimate outside of North America right now. If someone's listening and knows, like, please let me know.
Yeah, but, correct us if we're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's,
in a nice way, though. Be nice about it. You know?
Yeah. the American Ultimate Disc League, the AUDL, the Women's Ultimate League, the Western, it's Western Ultimate League, it's WUL, I forgot what the W stood for, it's the Western Ultimate League, and then the Premier Ultimate League. And so AUDL is for primarily men matching players, and then the W and the PUL leagues are for kind of women and non-binary players are welcome in those leagues. So all leagues where players are not paying to participate in the sport, they are making very little money, but they at least are not shelling out thousands of dollars to kind of fly around to compete. And yeah, again, like some really fun Frisbee. There was a bit of drama a while ago with the AUDL. They sort of weren't as... There's been a big gender equity movement in Ultimate Frisbee, and the AUDL was not necessarily as supportive of that as a lot of people would have liked. Yes. And so kind of from that, we got these two kind of four people who have been marginalized by gender playing in Ultimate for the WUL and PUL.
Okay. A few leagues. It's very interesting that like there's more than one sort of professional league. It's very interesting. I feel like nowadays, like I wonder, it feels so established that we have like our major, you know, at least in North America, basically, you know, football, hockey, basketball, baseball, like the big four. And I always wonder, like, could another sport like really break through? I always wonder whether something like that will just always sort of be like, feel a little bit more like, when you think with like the rise of obviously the internet, social media, like how do you, when you're like watching these games, are there ways to like check out some of these, games? Or are you mostly like hearing about them? How are you keeping tabs with the world of Ultimate, I guess?
For sure. So a lot of them are live streamed. So if you, YouTube is the easiest place to find it. UltiWorld is the name of the kind of media company that covers a lot of Ultimate Frisbee, but a lot of that is on YouTube. So I was going to say like the easiest way to watch some Frisbee is to just YouTube like WUCC for World Ultimate Club Championships. And so like currently it's going to be all of the Masters games that are up there that have just been happening. But by the end of July, there's going to be those World games are going to be being streamed and you can check them out. And across all three gender divisions, there's going to be games happening and streamed games from all over the world. So that's usually how I sort of read about it and follow it on Twitter and then we'll kind of watch a YouTube game as much as I can. So
looks like a lot of the finals are at least from 2018 are up on these on the channel there. Looks for like we could watch the men's final, the mixed final, and the women's final. So that's cool. That's what I did. Aiden, we were watching when I get into her, like he just watched me like finals games. I was like, this is fun. It's cool. I want to talk about a unique thing in terms of Ultimate, which is what's known, I guess, as the spirit of the game. Can you try to get the spirit of the game?
Yes. So Ultimate Frisbee is self-refereed.
Yeah.
All the way up to the highest level. So these, like both the WUL and PUL don't have referees. These world games will not have referees. What they have is observers. So there is sort of this mechanic for kind of people who, if players can't come to an agreement, there is sort of like a third person that they can reference. But the main kind of rules of the game are upheld by the players themselves. And so you are kind of encouraged as a player to play fairly within the rules of the game. And that's sort of what this means by the spirit of the game, is that you, when you step on the ultimate field, your goal is not to cheat and try to kind of win a game by breaking the rules. It's by holding on to those rules and then kind of playing fairly with like sportspersonship within them. And so, and it doesn't mean that like things don't happen. And it, you know, in some ways there are 14 referees on the field because everyone is able to make a call. You know, if you hit me and that, you know, that's the reason why I like am not able to throw the frisbee. I get to say, okay, that was a foul. Like, and then if the person is able to agree or disagree, and there's kind of different rules for what happens depending on if we agree or if not. And it's not uncommon for the answer to that to be like, yes, I did. You get to try to make that throw again. Like, or this person, they would have caught that if I hadn't hit you. So they now get the frisbee. Like, it's not, the automatic answer isn't like, oh, it's better for me to disagree with you, so I'm going to disagree with you. It's, you know, and it does happen where someone's like, oh, I actually like, I did, but I think you'd already thrown it and that throw had been a problem before we hit each other. Like, I don't think that was actually a consequential thing.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's not uncommon for people to disagree, but it's also not common for people to say like, oh yeah, that was, you know, that's my bad. Like, you get to do that again.
Yeah. And I guess also too, there's a little bit of like, if I like, it, you know, if I'm like, no, I didn't do that. And I'm like, disagreeing, like I also want the benefit of the doubt next time, like the it's on the shoe is on the other foot, right? Of like, like I think you hit me, like if there's no, you know, I think it's very interesting. And I think like, do you think like in your, so you've played a bunch, you think it works, do you think it works, and I'm presuming you've played some stuff, even just like you know, whatever level of competition stuff where it is a little bit more like there's a referee and the referee is in charge. Like, do you think one system works better than the other? Do you think the ultimate system of the spirit of the game works better?
Yeah, like it's part of the reason why I love this game is because I think when you have a referee, part of the instinct of those games is how to kind of get something past them, or you know, it becomes this kind of contentious relationship. And I think at the end of the day, spirit of the game and ultimate is supposed to mean that at the end of the day, it's a game and we are all going to play and, you know, try to be competitive. Like, ultimate, I think people mistake spirit of the game for the fact the sport is not competitive. And I promise you, it's like very competitive. People get very invested in how they do. And, you know, I've had those moments in a game where I'm like, oh, I, yeah, no. And, you know, you feel that and you have to put that aside and, you know, make the call that is fair in that moment. And it's, yeah, I think that it makes the approach to the game one that is more open to kind of seeing your other opposing team as people, and that like their enjoyment of the game is as important as your enjoyment of the game, and their kind of physical safety on the field is as important as your physical safety, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I like that a lot. It's funny to think that it's funny because I do feel like there is this idea in like any, you know, a league that has a referee. You know, I watch a lot of baseball. It's like often like it's like almost like both teams against the umpire, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like funny where you're like you're kind of removing this like adversarial component, but you're placing the control and not just like your actual opponents, the actual people you're like up against, but the rest of your team as well. I really like it. I think it's like really a really like interesting and cool part that like would I think draw me to that. I mean, some of that probably is like logistics. Like, yeah, if I already have to get like seven other people to come show up, it's going to be tough to also find a referee. So just from like, you know, we can just play by ourselves, but I love that it's like it's moved all the way up to the like the highest level of the sport. I think it's really cool.
And it's part of why there was some contention with the AUDL when it was first formed, because it did start with as a ref and I believe still has referees. And people were really against it because it's not the spirit of what we this game that we try to play. And it was very focused on it being a very like watchable thing. It's been very focused on like, okay, what someone who doesn't play Ultimate, who's trying to watch this and understand what's happening. But, you know, there's this contention around making sure that we don't lose what makes Ultimate special in trying to broaden the scope of this game. And that, you know, hopefully we're attracting the right people to this sport who see that and think it's cool and are interested in how that works, because it does work, I think, is the thing that most people kind of wonder about. I think they think it's just a bunch of, you know, hippies running around agreeing with each other all the time. And that is 100% not what happens.
Well, I was going to ask, like, how much do you think there is, I think, a bit of a, I'm like, yeah, bro, let's go throw the Frisbee around, you know? Like, I feel like there is, it does have that thing. I also feel like there is, like, I think also it maybe has a reputation of, like, people who play Ultimate, there's a little bit of, like, I don't know, I feel like an unfair stigma about, like, it's kind of a silly game, but, like, these people take it very seriously as well, maybe, as well. I feel like it can, weirdly, I think it can have both of those reputations at the same time. Do you think, like, the reputation or the stigma, like, of Ultimate is, like, is fair, or generally, like, the spaces, and obviously speaking to the spaces that you've engaged with, and I would also assume that, like, if these are spaces you're continuing to engage with, you don't dislike them. But I'm wondering, like, yeah, is that stigma, like, real? Is it, like, you know, are there parts of it that are real? Like, I feel like it does have a little bit of this, like, hippie culture, that it's, like, more laid back. And maybe that's true, but that's also what people, like, love about it, right? So I'm just wondering how much of the of its reputation is, like, maybe true and accurate.
Yeah. So I play two very different kinds of Frisbee.
Okay.
I have a team that I practice with twice a week, and we are training to go to the Canadian Nationals in August. And like, we are taking things very seriously. We have matching jerseys, and, you know, when you're at the field, you're very focused and, kind of very engaged and trying to play to the best of your ability. And then there's like a whole side of Frisbee that is not that. So I was at a tournament, recently called Sunbreak. It's one of the biggest, kind of just fun tournaments, in North America. And it's, we had 60 teams all camping around the field, and everyone is in costumes. Yes. And you've got like massive, like, cardboard props that people have brought, and there's dancing, and there's like silly kind of spirit games at the end where someone's like, oh, you're gonna, race around and pick up these things and now spin your head on a bat, you know, like kind of carnival, like camp games you might play.
Yes.
There's a long tradition in Frisbee of writing songs to your opponent. So changing like parody songs and like changing the lyrics of songs to sing to your opponent after a game. So there is this like weird side of Ultimate. And because like I love this sport because it gives me the chance to do both, that I spend my summer half of the time going to very serious tournaments where I'm, you know, like, very engaged and very focused. And then I, you know, have other tournaments where, you know, we're hanging on the sideline and, you know, we're still playing Frisbee and having a good time, but it is definitely hanging out and kind of celebrating being with your friends out on a sunny day is like often part of the bigger part of it. And then there's, you know, the Frisbee part is still fun, but secondary.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, like, yeah, you want both. Some people might want one, and like have total, I mean, hopefully not disdain for the other, you know, I think like, sports should, I think ultimately at the end of the day be fun, but what some people find fun is like super serious competition.
For sure.
Yeah, that's cool. You can have both. And if you just wanted to have one, you could have one, over the other. That's really
cool. And I think that this, it's funny because I think that this kind of reputation that Frisbee has for being kind of this like hippie liberal thing is the other reason that I really love it, is because I think Ultimate, more so than a lot of sports right now, is willing to have some really tough conversations around equity in sport. There's been, you've probably heard me using the phrases men matching and women matching players. And that's because in terms of trans inclusion in sport, a lot of Frisbee currently is when you sign up, you say, okay, do you match up against men or women? And it's not, you know, what are you and what is your gender identity? But like, and so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like high level, again, I like know women's Ultimate better than others, but there's like some really great trans women playing in Ultimate leagues across the country. There's a lot of push for kind of non-binary inclusion and different ways that we're trying to work with that. There's Jenna Weiner is a really great follow on Twitter and talks a lot about kind of trans inclusion in sports and how Ultimate can continue to improve. And so talking about kind of gender matching and the different ways that we can try to keep things in a way that's kind of fun and enjoyable for people in a way that's as inclusive as possible and comfortable. I think we have other ways where we need to continue to grow. I think that like racial equity in sport is difficult, and it's something that, because Ultimate, so much of it becomes to come from the college scene in the US. And so there's a level of like kind of privilege that comes from that. I think that there's issues when spirit of the game then gets turned where players of color are often seen as being kind of less spirited than others, you know, this kind of some of these like shitty racial stereotypes that can happen. So I think that there does need to continue to be conversation around an improvement in terms of kind of racial equity in Ultimate. But I think it's a conversation that people are having and kind of continuing to push towards. And again, like there's some really great people out there that are doing some really good work in running these leagues, running the PUL, for example. I'm totally blanking on Penny's last name, but she's also a really good Twitter follow that I can figure
out.
Penny from Ultimate. Honestly, yeah. That's probably all the information you need. The community's not that big. There's lots of people like not satisfied to say, you know what, like Ultimate's a great time and everyone should feel welcome. It's like, okay, but people don't always feel welcome in sports. And how do we make sure that people can be more welcome in sports? And what do we have to do to make that happen?
Yeah, you're not a Big Brother person, right?
I've watched it. Okay, yeah, aware of the current drama.
Yeah, and so I feel like what's happening there is like not dissimilar to like some of the stuff in which you're talking about, in which like you know, there are racial biases I think that people have that like are subconscious and you don't realize you're doing it. And I think the idea that like you know, if you place you know, with the spirit of the game rule, if you place like enforcing the rules and the spirit, and literally calling it the spirit of the game, in the hands of everybody on the field, then you know, people's, you know, biases or like, subconscious behavior that you like, you're not realize you're doing it. And how do you, culturally, like weed that out? You know, it's really, challenging, but just because it's challenging doesn't mean, we shouldn't try to do it. So I really respect that you're coming on being like, there's many ways in which like Ultimate has this like very progressive culture, and so having some of these conversations that like, you know, elsewhere trans people are trying to be erased from sports, and yet there are places like in the sport that you really love. You know, I'm a big baseball, I've said this many times on this podcast, big baseball fan, and I think baseball has like a long way to go in terms of like, there's a lot of like unwritten rules stuff, which I think is like white men being like, stop acting the way you want to, you know, it's just like, it's all racist, like undertone stuff that I like really hate. And I want to figure out how, like, not me personally, but like, how does that culture change? And so I think like, you know, it's just really interesting for you to come on and be like, yeah, Ultimate is like hasn't totally figured it out and has ways to go. I think it's like, just great. Are there any like interesting like terms? Are there like,
oh yeah, stuff that
you
would go.
Yeah, if you were saying, yeah, I feel like, yeah, you like the lingo. I feel like, give me a sentence that I, like, wouldn't understand. And so I'll see if I maybe can figure it out.
Oh, that's a great question.
I know, I put you on the spot. I'll edit out all the, like,
yeah.
You don't have to have a sentence. You can say any.
Yeah. Force Homeside to stop that flick hook.
Force that home side to stop that flip cup. Is that what you said?
Flick
huck. Yeah. I would assume. So in this scenario, you're the away team. Is it force that home side?
Yeah.
And then flick huck? Is the frisbee going upside down? I've seen some people throw a frisbee upside down.
Yeah, you can throw a frisbee upside down. So this is something for defense. And so a force, it kind of what I was saying earlier with frisbee, defense is very much about like taking away some options,
right?
But not, you can never take away all the options. So you're trying to make things hard. So a force is where you say, okay, we're going to make it really hard to throw to one side of the field and for the person who's on the person with the frisbee. And then everybody else has to worry about the side of the other side of the field. So you're kind of trying to work together to say like, okay, if you make this part hard and I make this part hard, then hopefully together this is hard. So you stick a force on, you say, okay, we're going to force you. Home side is usually just the side of the field where your bags are.
Okay.
You know, you do home in a way, but it's just, you know, kind of where people are standing and where people aren't standing usually. A flick is the throw that you do. If you are throwing, I think a backhand is a throw that most people do when they throw a frisbee. Then a flick is sort of the other option of it. So if you kind of flip it over and not describe, I'm doing a lot of hand gesturing that Grace can see. No one else can see.
I know. I can. And then as soon as you did it, I was like, yeah, I know that one. Yeah. The little side top, you know,
throw that some people know.
Yeah. The one of the two frisbee throws.
The other one.
Flick.
And then a huck is when you throw it really far. It's a really long throw.
Makes sense. That whole sentence, probably many would just assume we were just speaking Canadian, I think. It sounds very Canadian as well. Flick cuck. I don't know what that would be in Canadian. So, yeah. Any other terms I should know if I'm like going to go to a game of pickup? Is there like something I should know?
Probably a lot of things. So this defense, we've got kind of, we were talking about horizontal and vertical. So it's also host stack and vert stack.
I assumed earlier, I see a lot of plays where the ones where like people dive and catch. And I thought when you said that's a horizontal play, I just assumed they like mostly played on
people
their
being horizontal.
Horizontal.
So that's a layup when you like dive and catch the frisbee. Those are always very exciting. And then there's, a lot of different frisbee.
There's a Callahan. It's like, is that a real thing?
So a Callahan is it's very amazing / tragic when it happens. It's if you are the offensive team, but you're actually in you're pushed so far back the field that you're close to the end zone where the opposing team is trying to score, and your throw gets intercepted by someone on the other team, so they actually catch it in the end zone they're trying to score in, even though it was your throw. So it feels really good when you're the one who catches it. It's really savage if you're the one that this happens to.
And what about a cup? I kept seeing things about a cup.
Cup is in defense. So frisbee generally has two. I think it's similar to I don't really know other sports. I shouldn't compare things, but it's sort of similar to you can have this like kind of person on person defense. Or you can have more of a zone defense, which I think like you see a lot in basketball, where you're kind of covering an area of the field rather than a specific person.
Football too is big. Like, are you playing a zone defense or unfortunately like a man, man to man, but person to person? Yeah.
So this is the thing, is all of this lingo, Ultimate is making a really big push to make gender neutral words. So we say person, we try to change all of this. It's hard. Sometimes you still catch yourself. Man is a lot easier to. Quicker to say, and sometimes when you're running down the field. But so a cup is when you're playing zone, it's the people who the three of you usually will sort of run around after whoever has the frisbee and stay close to them and make it kind of hard to throw the field. So this is a position I love to play because you just get to like run around after the person with the frisbee for a while. So it's pretty good versus like everyone downfield has like these whole big regions that they have to worry about. And to me, that's so much more stressful than just being like, I'm just going to run and go after the person with the frisbee. Yeah. The other term you might see a lot on offense is you see handlers and cutters. So these kind of two offensive positions. So the cutters are the ones that run around trying to catch the frisbee. And then the handlers are the ones that do most of the throwing. So they're kind of the ones working, the disc up the field, and then they're throwing to the people kind of running around in front of them, and you kind of approach the score that way.
So. I was going to add, like, it feels like a sport where there's not really positions. I mean, seven people, it's not that many people on your team. Is it more like you have a role to play in whatever type of like offensive or defensive, whatever strategy you're playing in, where you might have a role to play in that? Or is it really like, are there like set positions? Are you like, you're really backline person, you know?
It sort of depends. I think the more competitive teams will have a bit more set roles, and rec team, you kind of show up and fill in wherever you're needed, wherever your kind of skill set is. So for example, I'm a handler on my women's team. I do more of the throwing and less of the like running around, but I'm also one of the oldest people on my team, so that is partially out of necessity.
We're getting to an age where like it's so sad, yeah, where they'll be like, and the, you know, the grizzled old veteran coming at, you know, you're, yeah, like, yeah, they're like 34. Come on.
Grace, I am 15 years older than the youngest person on my team.
Wow, that's many years. That's a whole person's
It's a whole person's ultimate career.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Some people are like, how long have you been playing Frisbee? And I'm like, almost longer than you've been alive.
Yeah. Wow.
And that is a painful conversation to have. Huh.
Well, I'm glad you've been playing for that long, because you get to come on the Ospie podcast and enlighten us about Ultimate. I think it's really fun. I feel like
there's, and I know people that play into their 50s. Like, wow, there's no, my hometown league, we play, I think our oldest person is 58. And our youngest is 16, and like they all play on the same teams. So yeah,
that's bad. Yeah, there's a league near me. I see them playing over at the sports fields down Ryman. I'm always like, oh, fun. And actually, I'm just mostly think of you. But I appreciate coming out. Is there anything, like any final, you know, thought should be, you know, like me, if people have been like, you know, just go Google a local league near you, probably be able to find something. Any advice for people who want to start playing Ultimate or watching Ultimate? I think you get, that's a perfectly valid way to engage with the sport as well, to watch it and support it.
For sure. I think that, yeah, like check it out, throw a game on. I think it's a pretty easy sport to follow, especially for people who have like a bit of sport experience. I think it's very akin to like bits of sports you'll recognize. So I think that that makes it pretty easy to kind of just stick on and watch. And honestly, yeah, like if you have Ultimate near you, it tends to be a really welcoming community. I think because we are that bit small, there is that bit of the like, hey, come play our thing instead of soccer. Like, please, you know, please come check it out and love this thing that we love.
Yes.
And yeah, like, gosh, there's so many, like, it's such a weird sport in so many ways. Like, it's a sport for weirdos, to be honest. Like,
love it.
So many sports I go to, we're rocking the like bright neon colors and the fanny pack. There was the women's div team from Colorado, Molly Brown, got in trouble because they wore fake mustaches on an ESPN streamed game a few years back. Yes. The like USA Ultimate was like, please pretend to be serious about this. Like, this is a very serious game. We have this deal with ESPN. Like, please do not do this. And they were like, I don't know, we've got these fake mustaches.
Oh, like, come on. Yeah. Come on, ESPN. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, it's, to me, this sport is so wonderfully unique in its like very serious, very competitive, very high quality athletic game, while also sometimes just like refusing to take itself that seriously.
I love that.
It's very fun.
That's my jam. I'm like, I feel like I can be a serious person, but I never really take things that, like, you know, I'm always like kind of looking for it to be a little bit less serious than it has to be. That's me. So that's amazing. That's so fun. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell people where they can find you, maybe if they want to tweet you their Ultimate questions. What else you got going on?
Sure. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter, MelissaW28. I basically am either tweeting about Ultimate Frisbee or, TV and podcast, so you know, it's a
D&D maybe
and D&D, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, check out right now podcasting over on the Post Show Recaps patron feed for YA with Kevin Mahadeo. We're currently covering Harry Potter with Brooklyn Zed, but that's wrapping up, and new exciting things on the horizon. Exciting. Previously covered Shining Girls with Grace, so that's fun. And otherwise, watch Grace and I playing Dungeons & Dragons over on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. We've got Dragonfly D&D in space, as well as our Humble Year show, which is cute woodland animals playing D&D. So,
I know this is this finished, you wrapped up quite a while ago, but if you didn't catch the Severance bandwagon, if you didn't catch the Severance trend, highly worth watching. One of the best shows, I think, of 2022. And Melissa covered it with Amanda and Josh McGurn. It's the show is great and the podcast. So fun. Interviewed somebody from the show. So super fun. Yeah. So
thanks, we're Grace. Checking out. It was fun to do.
Yeah. Well, people should know. Yeah. It's never too late to go back to a pod. And I feel like people need to, like, there's going to be a big, like, I missed it and season 2 is coming back. So you might as well watch
for it. For sure.
right?
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a very good show. I feel bad because I don't sing the praises of Shining Girls quite as much, which we also
do. It is fun.
But Severance is really good. You should go watch Severance.
Go watch Severance, yeah. All right. Thanks for coming on, Melissa.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, welcome back. I thought that was a great interview with Melissa. Thanks for giving us some insight into the world of sport. I want to talk a little bit about the NHL draft. I thought eventful night, I thought, a couple nights with the draft. Boy, that Montreal crowd was really fun. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like other sports maybe need to, I figured out, I feel like football has it down. I guess maybe everybody except for baseball has it figured out. The Montreal crowd was so fun, being in the in attendance, hoping that Montreal would make some trades. I thought that was delightful. Slafkovský goes number one in the draft. Shane Wright looked to be sort of penciled in as the top prospect, but Slafkovský ends up going first overall to the Montreal Canadiens. Kind of a surprise, and Shane Wright drops all the way to number four. The New Jersey Devils picking him up, so a little bit of a surprise there. Boy, it's kind of a fun night. DeBrincat gets traded from the Hawks, the Blackhawks, over to the Ottawa Senators in a move that the return probably could have been a little bit better on that. Yeah, so I think draft night was very fun. Now free agency in full swing. Lots of deals happening. If you want to play Toronto Maple Leaf bingo, the Maple Leafs make a bit of a, I don't know what to call it. I guess they do need a goaltender, but trade for Matt Murray, who's not super great. They did get some picks along with Matt Murray, but I think a lot of people would hope that Matt Murray is not perhaps the Toronto Maple Leafs starting goaltender to look on the market, but it just doesn't seem like they have the cap room to be able to do it. But lots of fun stuff happening in the NHL free agency world. We'll be back in a few weeks. Should be an exciting time for me, as we will near the end of July, right around the trade deadline. We'll do some trade deadline coverage probably in the back half of the show. We'll cover another sport in a couple of weeks. So I am excited. I love transactions, so we'll chat about that. If you enjoy today's show, you enjoy listening to me, I have lots of stuff going on over on Post Show Recaps, covering The Old Man, covering Blackbird, What We Do in the Shadows, and weekly movie coverage. You can catch anything I'm doing on Twitter at @HiFromGrace. We'll be back in a few weeks with another episode of the Off Speed Podcast. Until then, the podcast is over.